God is not caught on the back foot. God takes ashes and it brings beauty. And we're so aware of that this past week, that although there has been chaos and looting and so on, that God is still in control, He's sovereign, and He is at work. Let us bathe in prayer as we just come this morning and seek His face. And I know at a time like this that God calls us to seek His face, to stand in the gap, and to pray for our nation. So let's just bow our heads in prayer and let's seek His face at this time. Father, we just thank You that we can praise You because You are with us in the midst of chaos and the midst of mayhem and looting and so on that we experienced this past week. Father, we thank You that we can declare again and again that You are in control, that You're sovereign, Lord, that You're never caught in the back foot. And Father, we thank You that even at times like this, Father, You bring about good. Lord, You bring about what is right. And Father, as we come this morning, we just want to come with open hearts and minds for You to speak into the life of Your church. Father, we know that You call us to pray and to stand in the gap for our nation. And Lord, we want to do that. Father, we know that we are on the victory side, that we do not have to fear. Lord, times when we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, Father, we know that You walk beside us and that You lead us. And so, Lord, now as we come around Your word, we just pray that You would minister and speak to us. Lord, encourage us. Father, we thank You for the peace of God that is beyond all understanding. And Father, we especially want to stand alongside those who are living in fear, those who are in need, Father, those who've lost much. And Father, we pray for our country that indeed that You would be with our government, with the police, with our troops, with our people. And Father, that we would know that You are God. We pray this all in Your precious name. Amen. Amen. In May 1940, Germany in the Second World War overran Holland and attacked Belgium, driving the opposing French, English, and Belgian forces into the sea. On the French frontier, the forces were pushed back to Dunkirk, trapping almost 400,000 Allied troops. In desperation, the French and English called a national day of prayer and fasting. On May 26th, the Archbishop of Canterbury led the proceedings, which were broadcast across the world by the BBC. The British people stopped everything to pray. As a result, what was certain to be disaster became the miracle of Dunkirk. For some unexplained reason, Hitler halted the advance of his dreaded Panzer Division for 3 days. The normally blustery English Channel remained calm. 848 vessels rescued almost 340,000 Allied soldiers in 9 days. In the midst of this great, great crisis, God answered prayer. Crisis is often an opportunity to see the hand of God move. And certainly that's our desire as we reflect over this past week. Our heart desire is that we might see the hand of God move in our country. We've seen the same in 1994. I remember back when we were going to be voting for a new government, and many were predicting mayhem and violence and civil war. I remember those who stocked up their garages with food and all sorts of things, worrying about what's going to happen. But as Christians prayed for peace, contrary to what many predicted, this day when we went to the polls was perhaps one of the most peaceful days in the history of our country. Last week has certainly been distressing. We watched the rioting, the looting on TV, the destruction of property, the loss of life and livelihood. People, as a result of the looting, have had to stand in queues to just get the basics at their shops that are still open. We've heard terrifying stories from people we know who've had to flee for their lives. Most of us know people who have been impacted in some other way by the violence. We've heard the president speak to our nation not once but twice this past week. We've even heard about a sinister third force that has orchestrated violence. And all of this, of course, is quite unnerving. It's at times like these that God's people need to stand in the gap. God's people need to exercise faith. Friends, I want to say today that we're involved in a great, great spiritual battle for our country. And Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6 about the sinister forces of evil. Listen to verse 10 to 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh or blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then Paul goes on and he speaks about the offensive weapons. There are two of them, the word and prayer in the same chapter in verse 18. And pray, what is the word? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. Friends, we're involved in a spiritual battle. It's spiritual warfare. And won't you turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 as we unpack this chapter that speaks about this battle. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we'll start reading at verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Muirites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told the Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Eden, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is En Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat, what's the word? He resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to ever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built it in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or the plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast enemy that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They'll be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You'll not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Joshua bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some of the Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. As they went out at the head of the army, say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering them, the men from Mount Seir, they helped destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for God had given him rest on every side. So far we'll read in God's word. How do we respond to a nation in crisis? Certainly we realize we're in a great, great spiritual battle for our nation. How do we demolish strongholds, be it in our personal lives, in our country, or elsewhere? This morning I want to share 5 principles of spiritual warfare that achieve victory. The first principle this morning is that of seeking God, verses 1 to 4. Where do you go when you face a crisis? Where do you turn? Hezekiah, the king of Judah, he faced a massive army far greater than he could handle. And what did he do? He turned to the Lord. You know, it's so easy. We look at our government and we look at people around us for help. But here we see this king, he turns first to the Lord. Now, I want you to notice that Jehoshaphat had a heart for the Lord. Turning to God wasn't just something he did when he had an emergency or a crisis. If you go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 6, it says, his heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Jehoshaphat had learned to turn to his God. And friends, maybe as we go through this chaos, it's time for us as God's people to learn to seek the Lord. Not only did Jehoshaphat have a heart for the Lord, but also we see he trusted the Lord. Here was a man who learned to trust his God, who depended on his God. Now, a key principle of spiritual warfare is found in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1 to 4. When you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. When you're about to go into battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army. As I read this, it's quite interesting because it wasn't the president or the commander of the army. It was the priest who led the people. He shall say, "Hear, O Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid." And that's certainly the temptation we have at a time like this, to be faint-hearted and afraid. "Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and to give you victory." When we battle the enemy and when we on our knees, make sure that you're not afraid, but your focus is on God. Someone put it like this: fear is faith in the enemy. Is that true? Fear is faith in the enemy. If you think your enemy is greater than God, the chances are you're going to lose that battle. The word of God, it says, Jehoshaphat resolved to seek the Lord. He made a decision to seek God, to trust Him. Stop panicking, stop griping and complaining, and seek the Lord. He didn't put trust in his friends. He didn't put his trust in political figures or the army, but he put his trust first in God. This morning, we need to resolve, we need to take a decision to trust God and to seek Him. The first principle is to seek God. The second principle is of knowing God. We see this in verse 5 to 9. Now, I want you to see something important in this text. When you seek the Lord, you need to know to whom you're praying and what He has promised. And as we work through this text, we see that Jehoshaphat lays claim to the promises of God and who God is. We see this in verses 6 to 9. He lays claim to God's person and power, who God is and what He can do. Verse 6, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are You not God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in Your hand, and no one can withstand You." How great is the God that you pray to? Never, never, never take prayer lightly, because God rules the universe. Hubble telescope is an amazing invention, and they've discovered a universe far greater than we ever imagined. Just a few years ago, it was said the greatest structure in the universe was 200 million years across, and now with the Hubble, they've discovered it's 10 billion years across. That's just mind-blowing. And as we think about that, we think of the greatness of our God. Isaiah 40 in verse 12 to 15 focuses on this awesomeness of God. "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, or with the breath of His hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed Him as His counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust." Friends, we need to lay claim to God's person and His power. And then we need to lay claim to God's promises. We see this in verses 7, 8, and 9. "O our God, did You not drive out the inhabitants of this land before Your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, Your friend?" We see here that Jehoshaphat based his prayer on the promises that God had given to Abraham and Joshua in Genesis 12:3 and Joshua 12:1 and verse 3 at least. Further, God had promised to protect his people. Verse 8 and 9. They have lived in it and have built it in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in distress, and you will hear us and save us. As we look at our country, what has God promised in his word to do? You see, God delights to fulfill his promises. He's not like a Scrooge who doesn't like to give anything away, a tight-fisted Scrooge. Jehoshaphat laid claim to God's person and power, his promises, and then he laid claim to God's purposes, verses 8 and 9. Jehoshaphat could pray according to the purposes of God for his people, for his nation. Verse 8 and 9 reminds us that God's people were to proclaim his praises and his glory and to make them him known amongst the people. That was their calling. God had set apart a people who would worship him. God had a purpose for his people, and because of that, they could pray according to God's purposes. And then we see that Jehoshaphat laid claim to God's previous acts, verses 10 and 11. Jehoshaphat petitioned God on the basis of his past acts amongst his people. And yeah, we see the past and the present coming together. As you reflect back on your own life, what are the spiritual markers in your life where you know that God has spoken clearly to you? You see, if you look back, you'll see a pattern. You know God has spoken in the past, and he uses that in the present and the future. He begins the work that he's done in your life and in this country into the future. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God is working from the past into the future. And then the last claim we see that Jehoshaphat makes is claim to God's passionate care for his people, verse 12. God loves his people. God is a father to his people, to his children. Verse 12, the last part, it says, Joshua speaking, we do not know what to do, but we look to you. You know, it's like a child who looks up to his dad and he's needing help. You know, God is a loving, loving father. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And friends, that's our calling as God's people in this country today. Jehoshaphat laid claim to God's person and power, his promises, his purposes, his previous acts, and his passionate care. The principle of seeking God, the principle of knowing who God is, his person and his power. And then the third principle is that of depending on God, verses 14 to 17. I found this really interesting that the Holy Spirit takes an obscure Levite, Jahaziel, a singer in the worship team. And worship team is, God has lots of potential for you. You've got potential. God can use even you. And under the anointing of the Spirit, this Levite, he brings a word from the Lord. I find this so exciting. Imagine the possibilities when the Holy Spirit works through your life and my life. Here's the message, and look at verses 14 and 15. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast enemy, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You know, it's so easy to despair, but the Lord can win this battle. As somebody put it, one plus God equals victory. We can even say zero plus God equals victory. Perhaps this is God's message to you today. Do not fear, for I am with you. Verse 15, do not be afraid and discouraged, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Or verse 17, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord will be with you. Young David to a battle-hardened Philistine Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:47. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is whose? The battle is the Lord's. And Nehemiah would encourage his weary workers in Nehemiah 4 verse 14. Do not be afraid. Remember the Lord. I think sometimes we like that. We somehow forget. We have a very short memory. Do not be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. In verse 16 and 17, this man gives instructions on what they are to do. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up the pass of Ziz. And you'll find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You'll not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm. Friends, we need to hear that. Stand firm. And see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Does this mean we've got to sit back and do nothing? I don't believe that is true. Friends, we need to hear from our Lord, and we need to be diligent. It's so amazing as we've just watched the TV the last few days, how people are reaching out to those who are hungry, who've got no food. And friends, as God speaks, we need to respond to our communities. The principle of seeking God, the principle of knowing God, the principle of depending on God, and fourthly, the principle of trusting God, verses 18 to 20. God wants each of us to live by faith. You know, when God gives us a word, we need to claim it, we need to believe it. Even when things look overwhelming, how do we know when somebody really believes or trusts or places their faith in the Lord? Well, this text shows us the answer to that. What are the signs? Jehoshaphat began praising God for what he had promised, verses 18 and 19. Jehoshaphat responded to the presence of God in worship, and he let other people do the same. And take note, this is before the great event. This isn't afterwards. You know, it's so easy to worship and praise after something, but not so easy to do it before. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some of the Levites from the Kohathites and the Korathites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. You see, it was time to trade business for worship. You know, so often we're busy doing things, but here we see they stopped, they put down everything, and they began to worship God. You know, too often we think that deliverance is in our hands. If only we would realize what a difference the presence of God makes in both every testing and every opportunity of life. Listen to Haggai chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5. But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all your people of the land, declares the Lord. and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. And then the other key words, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. You see, God's presence is right here. He's with us. We know that Jehoshaphat trusted God because he worshipped him for what he promised. We also know that Jehoshaphat trusted God because he obeyed God. Verse 20. You see, what you do next after God has spoken shows how much you really believe in him. Let me say it again. What you do next when God has spoken shows how much you really trust him. Not only that, but he led others to do the same. Early in the morning, they left the desert of Tekoa and they set out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. He was trying today. I've got two verses I want to share with you. The first is Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. And then Isaiah 28:16. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. Friends, are you feeling dismayed? We have a precious cornerstone, a foundation in the Lord. The seeking God principle, the knowing God principle, the depending on God principle, the trusting God principle. And lastly this morning, the principle of worshiping God. Verses 21 to 28. As the people began to worship, God set an ambush. Verses 21 to 28. Josiah's men would take 4 days to collect the loot from the battle. Now, this account doesn't mean we don't have to fight battles, but I want to say this morning that the secret is that the battle is won on your knees. The Lord fights for you. That is why David could overcome Goliath. Gideon could defeat a massive army, and Samuel by himself could fight 2,000 men. What is the battle that you are fighting? Is it a crisis? What is a crisis you're facing? I want to testify to you today that God provides in a perfect and sometimes a very unexpected way at the right time. And let us testify to that as God begins to work in our country. Will you not throw yourself on the providence and the mercy of God? I want to close with a verse we know so well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Let's abide in prayer as we just reflect on these words. Father, we just thank you that your word provides us principles for life. And Lord, this morning as we just reflect on this past week, Lord, we know that although there's been mayhem and looting and terrible things have happened, Father, we know that you come and you use even that to bring about good. Lord, this morning we know that you have reminded us that prayer should be the hallmark of your people. Father, you've reminded us that of the necessity and the effectiveness of prayer and the call is to focus on you and you alone. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to express our faith and enlarge the scope of our prayers. Father, help us not to be intimidated, to be timid, to be hesitating, but Lord, to move beyond ourselves. and our own personal challenges as we seek your face. Father, we want to pray for our country today. Lord, we want to lift up our president who has an immense task, so many voices and different things pulling in different directions. Oh God, we want to pray for the government. We pray for our people. Lord, that we would see your grace. Lord, that this country would be drawn back to yourself as a reflect on all the evil that has taken place. Lord, we bow before you this morning. We're going to spend just a few moments in prayer. Our elders are going to lead us and invite them to come forward as they feel led to pray for our country. And won't you pray with us at this time? Won't you join us as we plead to the throne of grace? Won't you unite with us at home as we just pause for a moment and as we ask God to intervene in the life of our country? Our elders will lead us in prayer. They're here this morning because we just see this as an important time in our history to seek God's face, to intercede for our country. I want you to join us as we are at home, and let's pray together as we seek God's face.
Hope is in you. Lord, this week we've been very unsettled as to what's happened in our country. But Father, we come and recognize that when we go through a difficult and dark place, that you are with us, for you never leave us nor forsake us. We want to pray for our country, Father, for your hand of peace and righteousness to come across this land. We pray, Father, for those who have been deeply affected, who have lost loved ones, who have lost businesses, who have been terrified by what has taken place. We pray, Father, for your peace to be part of their lives this morning. Lord, as your people, we stand with you, Lord, against all of this wickedness and evil. And we recognize that there is a battle taking place in the heavens. And Lord, we just want to thank you that we are on the side of the victors. We thank you, dear Lord Jesus, that you have won the victory already. We need to just humble ourselves before you. Lord, we just bring our land to you and pray for your hand of peace on our country. We pray for wisdom for those who are in authority. And we pray, Lord, for your children everywhere, Lord, that we will use this opportunity to stand up and to be counted for the kingdom of God, to be different in our attitudes and the way we deal with things. And we pray, Father, that you will accomplish your purposes. This was meant for evil and destruction, but Lord, already we are seeing that it's coming for good. May you accomplish good in our land. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we come before you acknowledging that you are our Father and that you are good. This week has been a wake-up call, Lord. It's been a wake-up call for our government, but even more, it's been a wake-up call for your children, for your people. Your word tells us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Father, perhaps we've grown slack. Perhaps we've grown proud. Perhaps we've turned and our backs on what you want us to do. And we need to put that right as your children. And when we've done that, you will hear our prayer. And Father, we believe you have, because they remain, as so often is the case, those who have remained true to your calling and who have remained pure before you, as pure as any human can be. And you have seen their hearts, Lord, and you've heard their voices, and you've answered the prayer. We often sing, or used to sing, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And Lord, we've seen some amazing and pleasing scenes as people in our country, our rainbow people, have come together and they have moved and put effort into righting what has been destroyed. Oh, Father, we thank you for that. I can hear the voices of those people singing outside of a hospital, how great thou art. These are all wonderful, Lord. We've seen these miracles, but oh, may we not forget to turn our prayers into praise and acknowledge that you have already won the battle. I want to thank you for the message we've just heard and how you proved to your people who were shivering in their shoes out of fear that the battle belongs to you. And we think of those verses from Ephesians 6:10, be alert. And 18, pray. We've prayed, Lord, and we must pray more. But help us to remember to praise. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, Lord of lords and King of kings, Lord, we come to you as your children. We stand in awe of you, who are faithful, merciful, who are just. But Lord, we come to you the same time as people. Like Brian prayed, that sometimes miss who you really are in the midst of things, becoming comfortable in our lives and think that it is about us and not about your glory. And therefore, Lord, we come to you in this day and we just say, Lord, that we, as your people, as we bow our knee this morning, we come to you and say, Lord, this battle that we try to fight, that is yours. Open our ears, Lord, so that we can hear from you how we can go about in the next steps so that we can be the people of peace, of hope that you want us to be. For us as a congregation, Lord, that we will come to that place where we stand up. And I want to pray, Lord, for everyone in authority, everyone who claim to be a leader. I want to pray for the men in our congregation, Lord. Heads of families. Lord, that we will come to that place and that we will not ship our responsibility out to others, but that we will take our place. And Lord, as we, as your children, look at devastation over the past week, we at the same time acknowledge that there are so many glimpses of hope. And therefore, Lord, we know that the victory that is yours can only come to fullness if each one of us submit ourselves to you, but also, Lord, if we act in obedience. And therefore, Lord, we want to ask that you will guide us in these days to become the answer, to become the hope. And Lord, that we will be able to bring about, as your people, a resounding voice that it is only in you that we can go forward. And Lord, I pray that as we look at the opportunities that comes from this chaos, Lord, that we will never forget that there are so many in need. Yes, Lord, that we will look upon what is happening in the land in compassion, but with merciful hearts, so that we will reflect your love and know that you are on the side of justice and righteousness, and only on the side of that, and that we as your people must do what is right in your eyes, and only in your eyes now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, we stand here before you, dear Father, to place our trust completely in you. Dear Father, forgive us, because sometimes when incidents such as those were happening in the past few days take place, Father, we sometimes forget that you are not taken by surprise. We forget that you are in control, and sometimes it appears to us as if you do not care. But Lord, as we read in your word, we see that you see exactly what it is that is happening. As we read, Lord, in Psalm 2, your word states, "Why do the nations assemble with the commotion, uproar, and confusion of voices? And why do the people imagine, meditate upon, and devise empty schemes?" So that's what we saw the past few days, that there are men and women who are devising empty schemes, dear Father. And your word tells us that the kings of the earth take their places, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed one. And they say, "Let us break their bands of restraint asunder and cast their cords of control from us." He who sits in heaven, dear Father, this is what you're telling us, that you see them, and that, Lord, in derision and in supreme contempt, you mock them. We know, Lord, you speak in deep anger against the people that are perpetrating and trying to sow confusion and fear. And our prayer, Lord, is that they may heed your word in time, and that there may be those amongst them, Lord, who repent and who give their lives to you, dear Father. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and ask that the events of the past few days, dear Lord, may serve as a stark reminder to us that, Lord, indeed, we are fighting against principalities. It's not against human flesh, but it's against evil spirits, and that, Lord, we should therefore always be alert and always be in prayer, as your word teaches us, that we should pray without ceasing. Forgive us, Lord, that when things seem to be going well, we lower our guard and we stop praying as you would want us to. So, Father, we pray, therefore, that we may turn the events of the past few days to our advantage, and that, Lord, they may be indelibly printed in our minds, that, Lord, indeed, we should continue praying and not cease to pray, but pray without ceasing. Father, we pray and ask that instead of being despaired, instead of despairing, and instead of being fearful, we may come to your throne in prayer. As we heard this morning, Lord, we should trust completely in you. And Lord, we should thank you and we should worship you, dear Father. Because the trick of the devil is to paralyze us as your children. But Lord, we stand here before you saying, no, that's not going to happen. We're going to stand firm and praise you and worship you. We're going to stand firm and pray for righteousness, dear Father, to succeed and to spread through the country, our country, South Africa, dear Father. Father, we thank you because we know you are a caring God. We know you are a loving God. We know, Lord, that in you we can trust. And that, Lord, we place our trust completely into your hands. In Christ's name, Lord, we pray.
Father God, thank you that you're able to do immeasurably more than we can dare to ask or imagine. Lord, this week has brought us to brokenness. This pandemic has brought us to a place of brokenness and such despair. Lord, yet you are able. And Father God, we just pray. We pray that you would work in this country, that you would stir in such a way that it brings your kingdom. I pray for those that are perpetrators, not just those that looted, but those who stirred the looting, those who are behind the scenes, that, Lord, you would so work in their hearts that they come to know you as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That, Lord, we would see this country on the knees where people go, and wherever we walk, we would just be so aware of your holiness and who you are that we would fall down on our faces, acknowledging you as King. So, Lord, we pray. We pray, as Ephesians verse says, that you are able to impact through your power that is work within us, through the church. I pray right now that your church would be awakened. That the broadcasts that come from this building and the many buildings that are around us would be seen by so many who avoid the church. That they would hear your gospel, that they would hear your message, that not only our country would be impacted, but the world would be impacted and saturated with your word. And Lord, we see the events this week. We can talk about the long turmoil, the long effects on our economy and various things. But Lord, that verse says that you're able to impact the generation from generation to generation. We pray that you would so work that it wouldn't just impact those that are born right now, but those yet not yet born would be so impacted with your work, with the gospel. So we pray in your name.
Father, we just reminded of the words of Joseph: you intended to harm me, but God intended for good. And Father, we just pray that you would unite this country for good. Lord, that you would bring good out of what has been evil. And Father, that we'd see your hand. Lord, turn this nation back to you, we pray. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Amen.